Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy TP Timeless here at the helm. We about to get this show started off right, man. I didn't even have no party in the green room, but I'm going to set this one off right. I need a party. I'm taking y'all back to the 90s. Let's go.
Oh, it's party time. Having a party. Come on.
Yeah.
Ha.
Trey Lee, by storm.
By storm.
Ain't no mystery.
By storm.
R&F to death.
Hey. By storm.
Reaping one step beyond.
That's no doubt.
Hey.
Yeah. Check it out, man.
Check it out.
Come on.
Okay. I can't get too hyper because I'm about to jump out of my skin out here, man. The calling number is 917-889-9592. We got a quick 60 minutes to get in and get out, unless they tell me we need to put some more time on the clock, because I know we give a lot of food for thought out there for y'all people. Hopefully, y'all can come into this kitchen and do these dishes. But like I said, I'm feeling some type of way. Got a lot of stuff to jump into, you know. All types of sports. I ain't even going to just give you what's relevantly come off the tip, but you know, like the show started off, anywhere my crew go, y'all know we get down, man. So let me get these guys in here as best as possible. I had to take them back, man. I had to, and I feel bad, Sports City. I'm showing my age kind of, because that song is like 20 years old. I feel bad. Okay, so let me get into this kitchen, man, as best as I can. Calling in by way of the state of Georgia, by the Bay Area. I mean, he got so many different plugs. He gave a lot of insight to what's going on in his world. New as of today or as of the current time of this past week, that jumped off in a good new opportunity for him. Slim Jim, a.k.a. Mr. Fitzgerald, a.k.a. the Bay Area, Georgia guy. No, let me stop. A.k.a. Now, I ain't going to give it to him like that. But welcome to the wrap of how you feeling this evening.
Man, I'm feeling blessed, man. Nice to be in the kitchen. Just wanted to go and just talk it up with y'all a little something on Monday. Nice to be in.
Okay, definitely, for sure. And secondly, until we get the kitchen further notice filled up, because he told me he would be here because he wanted to talk some pressure stuff. So I can't wait till you get in so we can put the pressure on in the kitchen. But calling in by way of the state of Indiana and another co-host. I got two of my co-hosts, or co-chefs, if you will, from Thursday evening here at the Crossover Cafe, but they wanted to come get their wrap-up on. We got to welcome in Mr. King. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling? R-Teezy.
I'm feeling good, Thomas, man. Excited to be here with you on Monday night. You and Slim, I'm sure Nostradamus on his way to the kitchen, man. I just love what we do here, you know, when the four of us get together, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and he told me he'd be here because he had a couple of interesting topics he wanted to jump into, so I was hoping he'd be here for the jump. So I don't want to jump into the topic that he wanted to get into first. I want to get him here before I do it because I know that we'll all probably jump off the charts at a couple of the topics that he wanted to get to. But interesting enough, there was a topic that Slim Jim actually brought to my attention, and I wanted to see how people felt about this one. Now, this is an interesting player, you know, star in the making. I can call him a star, and I think he's, you know, progressively moving his name to superstardom. If his success continues to progress, and that being Jimmy Butler, and there's a lot of different avenues or a lot of different medias that are saying that they think that he can go elsewhere. There's actually been a one-year term that they're saying that he might entice toward the Lakers situation, but it's looking like that he might be out of the doors of the United Center, a.k.a. the Windy City. Let's throw this one around the kitchen as best we possibly can. Mr. King, your thoughts, and this is why I said it's interesting, because I'm not going to lie. For the past two seasons here at Sports City, Mr. King has actually supported Jimmy Butler in the efforts on the defensive end and how he's progressively making better efforts on the offensive end. And now that I think that he's got his feet underneath him, now he's seeking money or a better opportunity. But your thoughts on Jimmy Butler, right or wrong, indifferent, your thoughts on where he could potentially end up or if he does end up staying in Chicago?
I apologize. I was on mute. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. I had my phone on mute for that background noise. I'm sitting here, and I'm playing catch-up, Timeless, and I'm seeing that the Bulls have made a max qualifying offer to Jimmy Butler, and I think they pretty much did that to you know, squash the rumor that maybe he could, you know, do a one-year deal with a team like the Lakers. But with the qualifying offer being extended, now teams have to offer a minimum of, I believe it's a three-year deal to Jimmy Butler. So whether he goes or stays, Jimmy Butler's situation is this. He's a young player who has developed, for the most part, an all-around game, but he came in with defense as his calling card. He came in ready to play NBA-level defense. He's defended well at his position. He's versatile. He can play the shooting guard in the small forward position. Jimmy Butler's pretty much had a career season thus far. I mean, still relatively young career. I want to say this is, what, maybe his fourth season in the league coming up. And I'm trying to access his player card as quick as possible as we talk here. So I can be, you know, a little more accurate with things. You know, but Jimmy, 1,300 points this past season, almost 400 rebounds, over 200 assists, 114 steals, 73 made three-pointers, shooting 46% from the field, 83% from the line, getting to the line, a nice, you know, a good clip. Unfortunately, though, he only played 65 games, and anybody who listens to, you know, Sports City and hears me talk about players and how I choose to value a guy and what he can bring to your franchise, health is a big deal. And a lot of people think, you know, maybe, you know, players can't control it, and I understand that. I was like, but you still, when you're talking business and bottom line, you got to consider that. So, you know, the last couple of seasons have been good seasons for Jimmy Butler. And he's averaging like 39 minutes a game over the last 2 years. But he's played 67 and 65 games respectively. Now, this past season, he saw a 7-point spike in the scoring column. And that's great because, you know, the Bulls really needed him to step up when you're not sure what you're going to get from Derrick Rose. And like I said, he's getting to the line a ton, 7 times a game. But, you know, he was in his sophomore season, you know, playing only 26 minutes a game the last time, when the only time he played in all 82 games. And that's a big deal if your organization is about winning championships, because not only do you got to play during the regular season, but you must be available April, May, and June if you're trying to go deep with a particular player. So if the Los Angeles Lakers have any desire to ink a player like Jimmy Butler away from the Chicago Bulls, you have to think longevity, you have to think durability, and you got to ask, can this guy fit in with the recent, you know, draft pick of, you know, D'Angelo Russell, for as long as he remains in the fold? Does he play the small forward and run next to Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, and whoever you're trying to target in the middle there via free agency? But other than that, man, I can't say nothing but good things about Jimmy Butler and what he's done thus far. Again, the only black eye is his health. But his game continues to grow. He continues to, you know, expand his game. He's shooting, you know, he shot actually 38% from three this past season. And that's big time when you're talking about a guy who only shot about 28% in the previous season. So, again, Jimmy Butler has a lot of upside. He's very versatile. He's defensive-minded. I haven't been in the locker room, but I haven't heard a lot of stories or any reports about Jimmy Butler being a cancer in the team's locker room. I mean, we're talking Chicago Bulls. You've seen what they were able to get accomplished this past season. So, and I think a lot of that had to do with Jimmy Butler's presence as opposed to Derrick Rose. So those are some of my thoughts on Jimmy. I like his game, and I'll leave something else for the rest of the chefs in the kitchen.
I know you like him. That's why I actually had to come to you first, because as of last season, not even the season that just went past, but last season, Royce was a big advocate for the guy, and he actually held true to the word for Royce and actually basically became an all-star this season, but he was actually noticeable last season also. But knowing that there's a lot of teams that type by him and what the Bulls are going to do, because he's a quality shooting guard and he plays good defense too. You don't find too many two guards that play good ball on both sides of the court. So that's something that Chicago definitely has to take into consideration before they actually let a lot of people start throwing their sales pitch to him. Now, I know that this was a situation that Slim Jim came to me and talked to me about, and I said, we were going to handle this dish, don't you worry. So, Slim, this is something very interesting that you brought to the kitchen today. I want to see how you feel about this, and right behind, I'm going to come right at you with a very intriguing dish for you as well.
Well, I mean, the reason why I wanted to go and talk about it in the kitchen, man, it just seemed like I was having too much fun on Facebook, you know, lightweight trolling people when the story broke that he wanted to have a one-year deal and possibly go to L.A., you know. Man, look, it was a fun conversation with everybody, and I got to shout out Mike Patton real quick because he made a very interesting point about if a one-year deal was to happen, the only way it could happen is for Chicago to go and sign him to a one-year tender deal that nobody else could offer him. So, you know, I want to shout him out real quick, let everybody know I'm not trying to go and claim anybody else's statements because I don't get down like that, okay? But that is a very interesting point, and that kind of goes and segues into what I want to say. My thing is, even with what Royce just got through saying, with Chicago coming and making the offer that they did, you know, 3 years, I don't think Jimmy Butler wants to be locked into anything for 3 years. I think, you know, one thing that we talk about here all the time is if there's smoke, there's usually fire. And, you know, with the new TV contract, you know, and the salary cap getting bumped up and all that good stuff, I could see Jimmy Butler only wanting to play one more year. Because I don't think he really wants to be locked into a deal with Chicago, knowing that there could be even more money on the table for him on the other side of this. Now, if he wants to go and do a tender deal with Chicago for one more year and get his paper, I would totally understand that. Because if there's one thing a player would want, in at this time anyway, is their freedom. Then they go and have that bidding war for them. So I think that's kind of why you're kind of seeing this one-year deal thing kind of come out. Because maybe that's the angle he wants. I mean, we've talked about it. Chicago needs to go and fix their roster. Their roster has pretty much reached its ceiling. And I think with him, he's at a point where he may want to stay in Chicago, but at the same time, he wants to go and court other offers because there's going to be better offers possibly out there for Chicago while Chicago's trying to figure out how everybody's going to fit in this Fred Hoiberg thing. So for me, when I go and start seeing these rumors about how he wants a shorter deal, that's where I'm taking it. I'm like, okay, well, if he can't have it with the Lakers and the only team he can go and get that done with is Chicago – I'm pretty sure that's getting floated out there because he really truly wants to be unrestricted for 2016-17, and he wants to go have that courtship. He could really care less about staying in Chicago, at least under the current conditions, you know, of the money. You know, if there's a better offer later and they got to really get into a bidding war, then he'll go and entertain Chicago the way he really wants to, because right about now he's kind of stuck. Even with the contract, you know, in his situation as it stands as a restricted free agent, you know, anything that anybody else throws at him, Chicago gets to match, and there's a pretty good chance that they are going to match it. So I'm thinking he wants to go and max out on his dollars as much as possible, and that's why that one-year idea is coming out right now. So in the end, there's still a big part of me that feels like in the end, even though he's talking about he wants to stay in Chicago, I feel like either he wants to leave or, my personal opinion, it being his best interest to leave. But the only way he can go and get that done is with a one-year deal. And I think that's why you're starting to go and see, you know, the flames getting fanned on that idea a little bit in the media.
Now, I think it's more or less of a situation where you want to see this thing blown up because you've been actually preaching that for quite some time in the kitchen.
Well, see, look. You can blow it up, and if you keep Jimmy Butler at your core, I'm good with that. My main thing for the blow up is get rid of Derrick Rose, get rid of Joakim Noah. If you're gonna tell me you're gonna blow it up and you're gonna go rebuild around Jimmy Butler and Mirotić, and they just got through drafting young Bobby Portis, you're gonna go in and give Tony Snell playing time, McDermott, you know, get yourself some other pieces, maybe let Powell be a veteran presence. I can roll with that. But the main thing that's clogging up your cap right now is Joakim Noah and his $13 million. Taj Gibson also, he might have to get out of there. And then we already know Derrick Rose is taking up a gang of cash. They really can't go nowhere with what's on the books right now. That's what I mean by blow it up.
Now, okay. Well, I'm going to just say this and I'm going to let Rose go into it. We do got to call it. We got to call it also, but I'm one of the minority. I know that you two both been preaching that, but I do want to see Derrick Rose stay home. But I just want to see where the Tudors would be if Derrick Rose wasn't leave. But I don't want to see him leave his hometown team. Everybody would like to play in their backyard. But go ahead, Royce, and I'm going to get to the caller after you also.
You know, what Sim is basically saying is Jimmy Butler's been offered the qualifying offer, which he can do for the 1 year, as well as he was also offered a max qualifying offer, which is, you know, if he leaves that on the table, that's almost like $90 million, right? If he turns that down, if he does basically what Greg Monroe did when he was a restricted free agent. You see what I'm saying? Because he obviously wants out of Chicago, bottom line. He obviously wants out of Chicago. Chicago has some idea or, you know, about that. I mean, he has an agent, so it's not like, you know, Chicago's sitting there wondering what's going on with their player. I mean, they have agents, they're doing business, and they probably want to get something in exchange or in return, you know, for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's an asset. So getting signed, and if he really wants to move, You have a decision to make. Is this a piece that we actually trade and get something for in return, or does Jimmy Butler choose to sign the 1 year qualifying offer and play that out to be an unrestricted free agent next summer when there are going to be other big names, you know, in the market, which means his name value probably gets heightened and balloons a little bit just because Kevin Durant's name is going to be out there. And everybody who makes a play for Kevin Durant and then doesn't get him will maybe look at Jimmy Butler through those lenses of, well, this is the guy we get because we didn't get Kevin. He can do similar things. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just, it's strategic and, you know, it's business. But it's obvious that, you know, Jimmy Butler doesn't want to be in Chicago. And, you know, like you said, Slim has kind of talked about it, you know, and I've agreed. I've been in complete agreement. You know, Chicago's got to blow that situation up. I mean, they've already started by removing Tom Thibodeau as the head coach. So expect the players to follow suit, man, and look for the exit.
Okay, we'll see. And if Butler does leave, then what? I hope they sit on Derrick Rose, but I hope they keep both of these guys because I like the backcourt. And they got Derrick Rose late in the month of April and tried to make a postseason run and made it interesting. So, I don't know. One more shot, but Thibodeau's out the door. So, I understand the coach not being there. It's already like Reinsdorf and company already sold this team down the road. But we'll see. We'll see. But it's interesting to throw this one out there. Calling in by way of the state of Georgia, we have Matt in the building. Matt, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good. How are you guys feeling?
Doing all right. We have the topic of Jimmy Butler at hand right now. Your thoughts on the situation for the Chicago Bulls, or if he does end up potentially going elsewhere throughout the NBA?
Jimmy Butler is a hell of a player. Chicago was smart. They would do everything they can to keep him. I don't know. You know, who else would be interested in him? I would love for him to come play in Atlanta. It would be great. But I don't see that happening.
Okay. Well, that's interesting if he were to go to Atlanta, but they already got a bundle of guards on how they're going to have to try and figure this one out down there, too. Now, Slim, I'm going to throw this one at you because I wanted to come back-to-back, and I'm going to come to Matt right after you. Now, interesting enough, all before the draft, here in the kitchen and, you know, through all the media networks alike, they're speaking on DeMarcus Cousins this and DeMarcus Cousins that. Well, now his name pops up again with the L.A. Lakers, no less. And I want you to lead off instead of sending you for last on this because this is your team. I want to hear how your perspective is on this. Now, they are still into, or the Lakers are actually pushing this more than ever, that I think from the calling of the situation, to move D'Angelo Russell to Sacramento to get DeMarcus Cousins. Now, I think DeMarcus Cousins would definitely help the center position for this Lakers team, but why are the Kings playing this type of hardball when they're saying, oh, we're going to keep DeMarcus Cousins, get rid of George Karl, or George Karl's going to stay, DeMarcus is going to stay, we're going to make this thing work. Now it's like they're back in the talks about watching DeMarcus potentially go. Now I'm saying potentially. I'm not saying this is etched in stone, but why play with, like I said previously, a lot of people won't agree with me, but I think he is the face of the Kings.
Man, there's so much stuff going around about that situation. It's ridiculous. You know, the D'Angelo Russell thing makes sense. You know, you kind of got that vibe after the draft pick. Like, you know, maybe the Lakers would go and try to go and deal him in order to get DeMarcus Cousins. And you're starting to see that rumor fly out, too. I've also read where the owner went and gave DeMarcus Cousins' agent permission to go and pursue a trade with the Lakers, you know, in order to go and get something done. So, I mean, if there's elements of, you know, everything that you hear, that, you know, in the rumor mill that are true, you know, as far as, you know, Renadive, I'm finally said his name right, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, I had to pray about that one day. I was getting the man's name butchered. Sorry about that. But, I mean, if it's true that Vivek Renadive wants to go in and give permission to DeMarcus Cousins' agent to go and make this deal, and DeMarcus lightweight wants to leave, that would kind of explain why George Karl wouldn't say what he said, you know, talking about how we only want people that are dedicated to being in Sacramento to be here, you know, that, you know, there's a little bit of background now. And then you can kind of see why there was the rumors before the draft, and then Orlando might have been in the deal, so forth and so on. Now things are starting to fit a little bit more when you get that little piece of it. In the end, you know, you don't know what to go and take as fact or fiction in this. I think the only thing that's really fact in the deal is somebody needs to leave. It's either going to be DeMarcus Cousins or it's going to be George Karl. And as the days play out, more and more is looking like it's going to be DeMarcus Cousins on the way out, unless the coach. And the only reason why I say that is if you were going to go and fire George Karl, the best time to do it was before the draft. Then you would have had all this time between now and October to go and find yourself a new coach. So Karl is locked in. Sacramento is going to entertain these offers for DeMarcus Cousins. And basically with every day that passes by, there's going to be more and more desperation from Los Angeles to go and try to make a deal for DeMarcus Cousins. You also, you know, once Wednesday hits and these players start getting signed, man, you know, signing trades and all that good stuff gets into the fold, you know, you kind of hold on to your asset. You kind of wait and see how everybody goes and plays this stuff out, because as people are able to go and sign players, so forth and so on, you know, and actually bring them to their roster, then all of a sudden, okay, well, now you've got this player. And, oh, wait, you got LaMarcus Aldridge, too, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, maybe we could go and swing something now because I need something solid back in return and maybe a veteran presence at that I know can play. So, you know, there's a few different ways that this could go. You know, just hypothetically, what if the Lakers go in and sign Kevin Love away from Cleveland, you know, just hypothetically, and then maybe Sacramento can go and work it to where Kevin Love can come to Sacramento in a deal that sends DeMarcus Cousins down there. Maybe they can go and get D'Angelo Russell to come along with them. Maybe you send an extra asset that Sacramento has down there. There's a few different ways that this can go. So I think Sacramento's going to go and sit there and hold on to DeMarcus as long as it can. I think with every day that passes by, the likelihood of DeMarcus Cousins leaving Sacramento becomes stronger and stronger. And the Lakers are fanning fires, man. They're fanning Jimmy Butler fires right about now. They're fanning DeMarcus Cousins fires right about now. They're trying to go and get their fan base fired up just to go and finish outside the playoffs for another year, and you got to respect them for that.
Okay, Matt, your thoughts on the situation where the Kings and the Lakers are in discussion. This is a discussion. I'm not going to say this is etched in stone, but a big piece for the Sacramento Kings going for an unproven rookie right now who really didn't spend too much time in college, but everybody's highly coveted about this guy. Do you think this is a good thing for the Kings to do, to go after a point guard to try and build around for the next couple of years? Because the Sacramento Kings have literally been in the basement of the Western Conference for quite some time. And for the Lakers, I mean, this is a situation while they're trying to do the farewell tour with Kobe Bryant in this season or next season, because he's saying this might not be the potential last season. Is this the right thing to do for the Lakers if it's a 1 or 2 year term?
Don't we have a Sacramento Kings fan with us today?
Yes, we do.
I think the last time the Kings were relevant was 2002. That being said, they better keep Cousins because he's the best player they've had there in a long time. And, yes, they do need Bledsoe pretty bad. I guess that would bump Darren Collison to the bench, but maybe he's better suited on the bench. Sacramento is just young and, you know, they're inexperienced and, I don't know. I don't know how you put a winner in Sacramento. They haven't had a winner in so long. It's got to be tough for Kings fans.
If they move the market, they'd be still in the same situation. That's for sure. Royce, your thoughts on this situation? And I've been sitting on this next topic for far too long. So your thoughts on this situation with DeMarcus Cousins and everything that's still shaking up about him post-NBA draft of 2015?
Well, Thomas, all I'll say is this, you know, from the standpoint of the Sacramento Kings, you know, about to build a new arena, looking for a face, you know, I know Cousins is the best player they have on the roster, and I agree. He has been the best player on that roster in a long, long time. I've said it. He is, in my opinion, right now, the best center in the league, and, you know, I mean, that's just how I see him. But D'Angelo Russell has a buzz right now. He created a buzz coming out of the draft, and his buzz coming out of the draft has actually been comparable to the player that we all thought maybe would go number two and would make a trade with the Sacramento Kings seem sensible, Jahlil Okafor. When it came draft night, the buzz on Russell was much higher. We were talking about, is Russell going three or is he going two? So the value, the illusion is his value is higher right now. He appears to be a little bit more of a clean cut, you know, the swagger type player that, you know, fans can identify with. You know, he's a guard. Right now we're in a guard-dominated league, or at least it appears to be guard dominant in terms of guys who have big time endorsement deals and they're all over the television, things like that. So just off of the strength of the buzz around D'Angelo Russell right now, having still yet to play a single NBA game, you might be able to convince some fans in Sacramento that this is a good move. If you can get some complimentary pieces in the front court and just look at the move, like if it was made, what you're talking about in Sacramento now is a roster that, yes, you lose DeMarcus Cousins, but you got Willie Cauley-Stein in the draft. Maybe you're bringing over D'Angelo Russell. You still have Rudy Gay. And then you try to, you know, pull some subsequent deals after that to round out the roster. So it's favorable to to George Karl's system and what he likes to do in terms of getting up and down and just being entertaining throughout a regular season, getting into a playoff on a regular basis, whether you get to the championship or not, it's probably not going to matter to Sacramento fans. They just want it to buzz like it once did because, let's be real, when the Kings were at their best, they weren't getting to the Western Conference Finals. Maybe one time they got to the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just getting into the playoffs has been enough for people, you know, to get nostalgic and say, yeah, that's back when we were good. So if they could pull that off, then, you know, pull it off if possible. That's the way Sacramento wants to go. That's what they're thinking. Lakers, they don't really care what Sac is thinking. All they're concerned with is we get the best big man in the league historically by trade, period. We don't draft the best big man in the league and develop him. We trade for him. So why would they do anything different right now? So they're going to fan the flames on every rumor about any and every player, whether it's DeMarcus Cousins, whether it's LaMarcus Aldridge, whether it's Kevin Love, whether it's Greg Monroe, whether it's DeAndre Jordan. It does not matter. It's safe to say that I would be completely surprised if after this offseason the Lakers don't come away with a big-time free agent that plays the center or power forward position. I don't think this will be, you know, the whole Dwight Howard situation all over again. No, it won't be that. I don't think it'll be that. I think you got a different type of free agent out there. And these guys, Greg Monroe wants to be valued. He wants to be appreciated. DeAndre Jordan wants to be valued, appreciated, and utilized on the offensive end. LaMarcus Aldridge has done all he could in Portland. He's carried him as far as he could carry him. Why not go somewhere like L.A. where at least, you know what I'm saying, he could see that banners are hanging. He could buy more into the organizational sales pitch of we know how to win championships, we're going to do everything we can and go out and get guys, because that's what they do for their franchise player. They did it for Kobe when they went out and obtained Pau Gasol. So they'll do it for whoever is the marquee guy on the offensive end, if he's a veteran player like LaMarcus Aldridge, to go and get him help on the perimeter if they don't think Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell and Fold are enough. So we'll see what happens with that whole Cousins thing. But the Lakers are in play in so many ways right now, man. You know, you just got to wait and see, honestly.
Now, I'm going to be a little bit biased in this situation because that was a position that I played, and I actually still love the position to this day, but the power forward position. This is where you can naturally get DeMarcus Cousins to play that position with a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein while he actually learns off of a guy that came out of Kentucky system. They could play off of each other. That's why I think it would work in Sacramento. But Sacramento is just so strung up on the guard situation. And interesting enough that Matt threw it out there that Bledsoe has actually been in talks about going to Sacramento, even though they said that Bledsoe himself will end up playing hardball upon leaving Phoenix, but they're saying that Sacramento is enticed by that situation. So if he does go to Sacramento and having another Wildcat be in that mix-up, that would be great. But to me, it's like, why move DeMarcus after all that he's given you in the past two seasons? You haven't really been able to load crap around this guy. I'm going to say it like that. You haven't been able to load crap around this guy, and you guys have still been suffering in this the doggone cellar. And as soon as it feels like you get some pieces out of this past draft, oh, we don't need DeMarcus anymore. I just don't get it. That's the part that bothers me. Like I said, I'm biased off the position, but hey, people feel differently, and I love that we get a mix of every, you know, perspective here in the kitchen. Okay. Sports City, I sat on this topic too long, and I'm going to actually group these two together because they do it, you know, almost simultaneously in the same couple of days. But LeBron and Wade both opt out of their contracts, and around July 1st, it should be questionable on where these guys go now. Interesting enough, supposedly so, if the pieces are right in Cleveland, LeBron may end up staying, and I'm getting this word from Chandler out of the the kitchen right now. He's actually texting me to say some of this stuff right now, that LeBron is trying to see more pieces that fit his way or his style of play for this Cleveland Cavaliers team. If not, if he doesn't get the power or attention that he wants to this team, this opens up the LeBron James sweepstakes once again. So it's like I'm sitting on this because now Wade actually opts out, and now it actually heightens the situation if Wade comes, because Wade's father was wearing that Cleveland shirt. That'll keep LeBron there. Now, I don't know if that's the way he'll go. There's the talk of him going to L.A. You know, he might want to go home and go to Chicago, especially if Butler does end up leaving. It'll probably be Rose and Wade. That'd be crazy to get a Chicago backcourt, but I don't know how much is left in the tank for a guy like Dwayne Wade. But interesting enough, we have this situation going on in the NBA. Royce, I'll let you set this one off first. I mean, going with the two-man tandem that was down there in South Beach just a few years ago, the four-year run that they went on, getting two championships while they were together, your thoughts on the potential of these two potentially end up playing again if one of these guys ends up leaving their respected organization? Your thoughts here at the Wrap Up.
Okay. Here's the thing. I think there's some things to like about it and there's some things to dislike about it. From the LeBron James vantage point, like if I'm looking at him and his legacy and what he's trying to accomplish, what he wants to do for the city of Cleveland as well as himself in terms of bringing a championship, a part of me likes the idea maybe Wade coming. Another part doesn't like it because I'm afraid that there are going to be people who take the obvious shot at him and say, hey, he couldn't do it. Kyrie wasn't enough. If they re-sign Kevin Love wasn't enough. So I think it kind of depends on whether Love stays or he goes and things like that. I mean, LeBron wants to win a championship for Cleveland. I think that's his mission. So him opting out, I feel, is just all about business. And it's about making the same sacrifices and doing some of the same things that, you know, Miami did when they brought him on board with D-Wade and Chris Bosh. You got to remember, not only did he learn how to win championships in Miami, but he learned a lot about the business of how to win championships in Miami and the structuring of the contracts and the years and, you know, the necessity to opt out and when to sign everybody and how to wait until you got, in the sense of gentleman's handshake or, you know, verbal commitment that you know the guy is going to keep his word and come through when it's time to sit down and ink the deals. So with that being said, LeBron, he's in the loop in what's happening in Cleveland. Obviously, he's in contact with D-Wade. We all know that they're very good friends. D-Wade's posturing for whatever it is. I mean, if D-Wade just really wanted to completely leave and go straight to Cleveland, there's no reason for him to not say that and just head out. He opts out and rolls out. But D-Wade has his own personal legacy to think about as well. And we all know D-Wade as a Miami Heat player. He has been the Miami Heat for as long as we all can remember. So with that, why leave? Why leave? To return a favor? Does LeBron feel like he can't get it done, that he needs to have D-Wade, a guy who wasn't really there on a consistent basis during the regular season, even though D-Wade did not disappoint? He was there when you needed him at winning time. Is that it? I don't know. But for Dwayne Wade, Timeless, I mean, you hit it on the head, man. There are other options for a player like Wade at this point of his career if he's going to leave Miami. I mean, you could go to Chicago, where they are, you know, pretty much, you know, looking like a team that's, you know, fishing for direction, and a player like Dwayne Wade coming in who's won a championship. If you replace that native son, if you use that native son to replace, you know, Derrick Rose, who could be on the move, then no one in Chicago is really going to make a peep because they got D-Wade, who's won championships, and then, you know, you go from there in terms of your rebuild. But Wade has some mileage on those legs. We know he's not going to play a full season, so wherever he goes, Wade's going to be trying to win. I still think his best chance at winning is to stay put in Miami or join LeBron. But at what cost? I'm not sure D-Wade gets the money he's asking for in Cleveland unless LeBron is willing to commit to sacrificing his dollars much the same way D-Wade did for LeBron. That's the only way D-Wade gets his money, honestly, in my opinion, is that he actually leaves Miami and gets what LeBron chooses to leave on the table. Because sometimes that's what you do. You know, it might not seem like good business, but when a relationship sometimes is bigger than business, if that's really your brother, sometimes you look out for your brother because you're going to get that money back somehow, some way, because that's your brother. He's going to look out for you when you need him. So doesn't sound like great business, but if that's what's going to help LeBron get over the hump and get a championship in Cleveland, if that makes D-Wade happy, if that puts the Cavaliers in the best position to win immediately, I think all parties will agree to it, and you could see D-Wade in the Cleveland Cavaliers uniform 2015-2016.
That is just so terrible. And meanwhile, you were just speaking, I'm just shaking my head like left and right the whole time while you're speaking. That is just, I'm just disgusted on where NBA has gone. Like, but it's just me. I don't even want to speak on the situation. I might jump out there and get into this dish. Matt, your thoughts on this situation? Wade and LeBron both opting out. If one of these guys move, if both of them move, if they team up, and just like Royce throws in the situation, how Wade made room for LeBron and Bosh in the summer of 2010, your thoughts on if this does end up going down or if this is just water under the bridge and these guys stay put and just try to make a better effort toward the money that they pull in?
Well, I had a couple things go through my head while I think it was Royce was speaking. First was Dwayne Wade goes to Cleveland and maybe somehow, I know he's going to have to practice some, but Ray Allen comes back as well to Cleveland. I mean, that's kind of far-fetched for all that to happen, but that would be pretty sweet. Secondly, somehow the Lakers get LeBron and Wade. But I know it's been a long time since the Lakers have done anything, or I don't know what their issue is. They used to have big stars there. You guys remember the team they put together with Karl Malone, and there was a few other guys that flopped in the finals, but I think I could see them maybe moving to a bigger city together. Not that Miami's great, but I just don't see LeBron. They've already conquered Miami, so I think I could see them scheming and doing something else together. But I would love for it to be Cleveland. But my gut says maybe it'll go somewhere besides Cleveland.
That would be crazy if LeBron heads back down to South Beach. And that's all speculation. This is all speculation talk, so I don't want people to just totally jump, you know, straight to the back door with this one. But it's just, you know, just for value of sports cities. Now, Slim, what if these two do end up teaming together? And Matt actually throws an interesting spice to the dish if Ray Allen jumps aboard and tries to get into this one, or if Ray Allen remains out of the game in the NBA situation and watch these guys go afloat. But everybody is kind of like everybody, you know, LeBron went to Miami, helped Wade out. Everybody simmered down there, got the championships. Now LeBron goes back to Cleveland. He got his pieces with Mike Miller and James Jones. And if Wade comes up there and also if Ray Allen's coming. And this is just all speculation, I'm just saying. But both of these guys opted out. And depending on which way these guys do end up going with the contract, it's going to be very interesting in the next 2 days, especially hovering around Sports City, because we'll be dicing this one up as long as possible.
Well, I mean, you know, that's just like getting the band back together from one more good tour. That would be nuts, man. Maybe D-Wade and LeBron will go to New York and go and get Kristaps Porzingis a championship in his rookie year. You never know. But, no, all jokes aside, it's business. Royce hit it on the head. It's business on LeBron's part. It was business on both of their parts. But, I mean, on LeBron's part, it's kind of a wait-and-see attitude he's taking towards the Cleveland organization, you know, to go and see what kind of pieces they go and fit together. You know, ESPN is over here making a big deal about LeBron meeting up with Kevin Love over poolside someplace at some hotel or whatever. And, you know, there's just things going on. You know, they're trying to work some things out in Cleveland, you know, as far as their cap, getting Tristan Thompson signed again, Anderson Varejao, we need him to stay, you know, so forth and so on for Cleveland. And then on D-Wade's side, I read somewhere where he's trying to get like 16.5 per year or something like that, or maybe even get bumped up to 20.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry, say it again.
No, I'm saying, are you serious? 16.5 to 20 for Wade? He's pushing
no,
it.
No, I'm very serious. I saw that either on the bottom line for ESPN or in fact, I think I saw it on the bottom line for ESPN and I read it someplace where he's trying to get like $16.5 million a year out of Miami. You can go and confirm that, but I'm pretty sure I saw that. He just wants to get his money. You know, he's been holding out for a minute on his money, you know, helping out everybody else to go and get there so they can go and win. And, I mean, I think Chandler hit on this last week. You know, it's just time for Miami to go and ante up. So he's in a situation where he's trying to go and get his loot. Maybe his loot is in Cleveland. I always had this, like, sneaky suspicion, like, D-Wade was going to end up in Cleveland anyway. That's always been in the back of my mind. Look at Cleveland's two-guard situation right now. JR opted out. Amon Shumpert opted out. They really don't have a two-guard. I mean, there would be a slot for him to go and play in Cleveland right now if, you know, he decided to go there. So it's not like, you know, he's not in need to there right now. If Cleveland goes and signs Varejao and Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love decides to go elsewhere, the money would actually be there for D-Wade. So, you know, Cleveland in the end is definitely in play for Dwayne Wade. This is basically going to boil down to, you know, as far as Wade staying in Miami or leaving, it's going to be basically boiling down to, man, look, Pat Riley, what are you going to do? How important is Dwayne Wade's legacy to you in Miami? That dude has been there from day one of his career. Any banners that you see in Miami, he is directly connected to. I don't care if Chris Bosh and LeBron both came there. That's D-Wade. His legacy says, I'm in Miami because I was here. I attracted three of these banners up in here. Man, what are you going to do? He is easily the greatest player in Miami Heat history at this point because he delivered. So what is Pat Riley going to do? I mean, if he has any kind of nostalgia in him, you know, I mean, he was with the Lakers. You know, you don't want to go and see somebody like this leave. You don't want to, I mean, you know, that's almost like letting Magic Johnson go and finish his career elsewhere. I know it's a different business from back then, but, I mean, if Pat really cared about that kind of thing, he's going to go and find this man his money because he's only been loyal to the franchise. But in the end, you know, That's the deciding factor, you know, as far as Dwayne Wade and if he ends up in Cleveland. I mean, Chicago, I don't see him in Chicago. I think Chicago's going to be a complete youth movement and trying to figure out if they can go and actually make a run with the current roster they got under Hoiberg or if it's time to go and tear it down lightweight and rebuild it. Bottom line is Miami, if you don't ante up, Cleveland has – they need him at the two. They have a spot to put him at, and there is a possibility the paper will be there with everybody that's opting out. So, D-Wade, if LeBron's not going anywhere, he's in Cleveland next year. He needs that championship. The movable part in the scenario is D-Wade, and the highest likely candidate to go and pick him up is Cleveland.
Okay, so like I said, we'll be hanging on to this one for sure. Until everything starts to break out around, you know, July 1st, a better state. So we'll be in touch with this one. The last one that I want to touch on that's actually big to me, I know that these guys do not care. Possibly a little pinch of Matt might care about this one, but I know the other guys here might not care about this one. Brooklyn is talking about moving the guy that I think has the sweetest stroke in basketball and Joe Johnson. They're trying to send him to Memphis with the Grizzlies. Now, they already got interesting moves, especially with the two guards with Matt Barnes coming there, Tony Allen there as well, depending on how this is going to pan out. Then they're going to also, depending on what's going on, Vince Carter as well, and Joe Johnson being there. But I know that they'll have to move pieces, make room if they do bring Joe down there. But picture them having another trigger man down there outside of Conley if he does end up potentially end up starting. But I want to see how you guys feel about this one. I am a Joe Johnson fan, even though, like, he does let me down. He doesn't put up the average 21, and I think that he can average a game. He'll end up settling for, you know, 15 or 17 a game, and I know he can knock down shots, especially when he was in Atlanta. He could put those numbers up, but I think he's more or less settled to taking a back seat, if you will. But I want to throw this one around the kitchen and see how you guys feel about this. Slim, I'm going to come to you first. Your thoughts on Brooklyn and the Grizzlies and talks about Joseph Johnson.
Man, Brooklyn lightweight trying to have a fire sale. It's crazy in Brooklyn right about now. They don't know what's going to happen with Brook Lopez. They got Thaddeus Young opted out of his contract, but they're trying to go and re-sign him. They're trying to move Joe Johnson. It's ugly in Brooklyn right about now. But if Memphis
don't forget they moved Plumlee, too. Don't forget they moved Plumlee,
yeah, they moved Plumlee to Portland. That's right, that's right. But, I mean, if Memphis is able to go and get Joe Johnson, I'm loving it, only if Marc Gasol is still there, they're able to go and keep the core they've had all this time, which I think will be hard to do. But, I mean, the one thing that Memphis was missing last year was that dude that could go and get them buckets after they went and got stops. Memphis has no problem getting stops. They have problems getting buckets. And Joe Johnson would go and get them buckets. He can get them ISO buckets or buckets within the offense. That's the only thing. If they're going to go and keep everybody together, which is going to be tough, Joe Johnson's a beautiful thing in Memphis. I don't think Memphis was the only team that was interested in him, but I even read some place where Atlanta was lightweight interested in trying to get Joe Johnson back, but that's a story for another day. I've read a whole bunch of stuff. But, I mean, Joe Johnson in Memphis would be real nice. In fact, he's the missing piece. They need points. And him bringing his 15 to Memphis with the defense that they play, and you go and have him, you know, playing off of Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, if they're able to keep him, they're dangerous. They're seriously dangerous. Hopefully they can go and pull that off. It's just a matter of, you know, shifting the money around and making sure they can make it happen.
Okay, Royce, your thoughts on the situation? I know that you aren't big on Joe. You know that I'm big on this guy. One, how many years do you think he has left in the tank to play some top-notch basketball, if you consider it that? And two, do you think this is water under the bridge and he may end up potentially ending up in Brooklyn or staying in Brooklyn or ending up back in Atlanta like Slim threw out there?
Well, let me say this for Joe Johnson. This is a guy at currently, you know, 33 years of age. You know, he had a birthday. Matter of fact, June 29th, today's Joe's birthday. Happy birthday, Joe. Cool. ISO Joe. Okay. So today's ISO Joe's birthday, right? Look, man, this is a durable player. This is a player of value, okay? That's why he got that big contract. Not so much just what he would do on the court in terms of points, rebounds, and assists, having an all-around game, pretty, you know, decent percentages, could shoot the ball from three, but it was about the fact that Joe Cool pretty much plays 82 games a season, and when he doesn't play 82, he plays 76, 79. He had a year where he a couple of years at 72. But for the most part, you're going to get 80 to 82 games out of Joe Johnson because of the style of he plays. Not so much the team plays, but he plays. Joe Johnson plays ball at his own pace, period. Doesn't matter what the defense is trying to do. You can't rush Joe Johnson into anything. He plays at his own pace, and that's not a knock. That's my compliment to him, right? So what I'm saying is, how many more years his elite player days are really gone. He's not taking 16, 18, 17, 20 shots a game anymore. He hasn't taken 18 shots a game since the 09 2010 season. It's been a decline since, from 16 to 15 to 14 to 13 shots per game on average, pretty much the last two seasons. Can Joe Johnson still be 16-3-3 or 16-5-5 over the next 2 to 3 seasons? I think so, if he's in the right situation, if there's enough help, if there are there's a 1-2 option. Slim made some comments about the Memphis Grizzlies, for example. If you got the options of Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph and Mike Conley in front of a player like Joe Johnson, then yes, you can count on those 15 to 16 points when you need them in limited shot attempts. Because, look, Joe Johnson, one thing about him, he was never big on going to the rack on a consistent basis. I mean, the most free throws he ever took in a single season, you know, was like 5.5 in that year. You know, it was a short season. He had injuries, you know, in terms of he only played 57 games, and he was playing a career high, you know, 41 minutes a game. I see Joe Johnson's minutes coming down. I would like to see him back around 32 to 33 minutes a game or 30 a game. But he's got to get quality shots. That means the coaching staff, you know, and the team has to understand, here's who we have, here's how we use him, here's how we get the max, the optimum production out of him when he's available and on the floor, as well as whatever leadership he offers in the locker room. I mean, when you look at Joe Johnson, at least when I look at him, he's not very verbal or vocal on the court. Not very demonstrative. He never seems to get excited. He just, you know, goes about his business. Joe Johnson has to find the right situation. I think there are teams willing to entertain that 24.9 or whatever it is, almost $25 million he's owed this season, because this still is an expiring contract. And the business of the NBA, you know, expiring contracts have value, no matter what the tab is. So, somebody will probably pick up Joe. I think he may have played his last days in Brooklyn. And honestly, I would like for him to have played his last days in Brooklyn. Philadelphia, I'll make a case to make a bid for them. Like, hey, look, no,
that's real.
No, you're laughing, but I'm dead serious.
Oh, that's
dead
real.
Serious, not because I'm a fan.
I know you are.
You know, it's not on some fandemonium type stuff. This
that's
is on kid. Some, you know, Billy King has, you know, was once a part of the Philadelphia 76ers organization. So, you know, Philly, Brooklyn, they got ties. They've done deals. Thad Young was in Philly, so Brooklyn knew what they were getting when they traded with Minnesota to bring Thad Young over there. So, again, there's a business relationship right there. Philly needs veteran leadership. Their veteran leader right now on the team is Jason Richardson. Jason Richardson, okay? So last year was his first year back playing after like 2 or 3 seasons dealing with ankle and knee problems. You bring in a guy like Joe Johnson to help players who shoot the three ball, like Isaiah Cannon, Pierre Jackson, who missed all of last season with the ruptured Achilles, he's back. That's the point guard that I would have been raving and talking crazy about last season, but he had that Achilles injury in summer league, so I didn't do that. Get ready, Sports City, because I'm going to start talking crazy when he suits up and goes ham in summer league this summer. But, you know, Robert Covington, he can score the ball. You just need guys, somebody, some veteran who's been in the league a while. Joe's been around. He's been on playoff teams. He knows what it is to at least start getting a team hungry and excited about going to the playoffs because of what's on that roster personnel-wise. So I won't turn it into a Philly rant. I'll dial it back. There's somebody out there that'll take a player like Joe Johnson. Again, he has the years in the league. He's going into his 14th season. He's been an all-star. In my opinion, aside from winning a championship, Joe Johnson's been a winner in the NBA. The way he's kind of carried him, the way he's carried and conducted himself, he's been a winner. When people talk about him, when people look at him, I think he's viewed as a winner despite not being on a team that really had you know, legit shots at winning championships. That has value. It's an expiring contract. Teams are going to take that on. I give him three more decent seasons in the NBA.
Okay, well, we got a vow for him to be a trigger man in Philly. That would be crazy, because he would definitely get a shot there for sure. He definitely, they wouldn't have no qualms with him at the two-guard position. Hey, Brooklyn, if you
and
want,
Thomas,
let me say this.
Think about it, Ty. Look at, imagine all the open looks he's going to get if he goes into his ISO Joe mode and does what he did with Brook Lopez. The difference, Brook Lopez was going to get his, and so is Jahlil Okafor, but Okafor can pass out of the double team as well. He's going to get, you can get open looks in Philly. With those bigs, you can get open looks on the perimeter with Okafor in the paint. Slim, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. That's why I didn't laugh.
I didn't say no. I just know the Sixer in him is going to come out. That's why I laughed. That's all. And he's like me.
The Sixers need perimeter players, man. That's just the bottom line. They got every big man for the last 50 years. They got George Mikan over there, you know, got his ashes at the end of the bench. You know, they need to get some guards.
Hey, we discussed this. We were in the cafe discussing this. I mean, go check. You can check out the draft show. I mean, that draft show was epic. Matt, your thoughts on your former trigger man down there in Atlanta? We already have speculation on him potentially coming back to Atlanta. Well, it just was just talked about here. But knowing that the Grizzlies are interested, do you think he stays or goes? Does he leave Brooklyn? Does he go to Memphis? Or does he end up elsewhere?
This is actually going to be my last comment tonight. I appreciate sitting in with y'all at the softball field here. But I do remember Joe Johnson playing for the Hawks. I just remember his contract was really high. He doesn't show a lot of hustle. He has a lot of talent. I don't know where he's going to end up, but please don't come back to Atlanta, Joe. We don't want your contract. We don't want your lack of ability and desire to drive through the hole, because we know Joe Johnson just likes to shoot, and that's all he does is shoot.
Okay, he doesn't hustle. That's the first time I ever heard that. So he's a slacker. That's the first time I ever heard that he was a slacker. Interesting. Okay, Matt, well, thank you for stopping by to wrap up. Interesting enough, though, I don't see Joe as a slacker by any means, though. But like I said, it could be a couple of teams, 2 to 4 guys, and they need to fill that two-guard hole. But knowing that the Grizzlies are actually making a couple of moves to actually help that backcourt situation, or at least load up the bench situation, if they got Barnes, Allen, Vince, and if Joe goes there, unless these pieces don't get moved around, it's going to be interesting to see how Memphis does take care of this. But Brooklyn, I wonder where you're going after all these pieces you move. Are you fine with going with D. Williams right now, Brooks, and the pieces that you got to try to get acclimated with Lionel Hollins? I don't know, man. Brooklyn, I mean, I'm out here in the tri-state area, so I hear a lot about you guys. See the daily news and the polls always talking about you guys, looking you up on a weekly basis. I don't know, man. This is tough for me to look at as a, near Brooklyn side. Hopefully this is the right move for them down the road, for sure. I know this has been a quick and easy one. I had to get as much as I could out of these guys. I got to save a lot of this for them as well as Thursday, but tomorrow we'll be back in with the cookout. I need a plug and close out from both of you before we get out of here. Thank you for stopping by to wrap up. I thought Nasir Thomas was going to be here. He told me midway through the show that he needed some help for us to hold him down, so at least my big brothers came here and said, we got you, Ty. So I'll start with you first, Slim. Give me a plug and close out as we shut down the wrap-up.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure to be in the kitchen whenever I come in, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, no matter what day. You know, it's just nice to be in the kitchen, go and talk about some sports. I can't close out with the yellowjackedup.com anymore. Can't close out with that. Tomorrow's my last day with the yellowjackedup.com. Starting Wednesday, I'll be writing for BustingBrackets.com with FanSided, covering college basketball nationwide, not, tied down to the constraints of just writing about one school. I get to go and cover everything from California up to the Northeast, down here to the Southeastern Conference, and all parts in between. I get to get on everybody's melon, though. So, I mean, you know, I'm thankful for everything that the Georgia Tech site did for me. I'm thankful for the fan base because, man, I was baptized by fire with them. They got on my melon when I got something wrong, and they patted me on the back when I got it right. They hit me in my inbox and encouraged me. Man, them fans are really cool, man. I'm going to miss writing for them. But this is a blessing, man. This is basically where I wanted to go with it. I wanted to go and write about college basketball, and I have that opportunity now. So check me out, bustingbrackets.com, SlimFist the Fourth on Twitter. And, man, I'm just excited, man. And I'll be back in the kitchen on Thursday.
Look at this boy. He's shining. That's what I want. I want to give us good plugs and all that, man. That's what I'm talking about. I like when he do it, man. I don't need to do it for him. But, you know, sometimes Slim will hit the door, be like, I'm going to take this dish and run on him. So I'm glad he's doing this thing, man, and he set it up himself. That's for sure. Okay, Arkeezy, I need you to give us a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the wrap-up.
Yeah, man, I just want to congratulate Slim on the opportunity and realizing you know, his dreams and his pursuits, man. Doing big things, that's what's up. Make sure everybody follows Slim and support his work. Sports City, you know what it is. It's all love here. Keep tuning in to the kitchen. Everything is popping. I'm running with this Arkeezy thing. See what that do for your boy, you know, chopping it up. You know me, man. It's Royce King. I'm on Twitter at Arkeezy Ty. You're going to have to tell them how to spell it. That's R-K-E-E-Z-E-Y. That's the TP Timeless spelling, right? So we going to roll with it, man, because, you know, he puts together the episode shows and everything. So just work with me. We going to work on, you know, building this AKA. And all that good stuff, man. And, you know, I'm still out here on the course blowing these whistles, supporting the youth here in Indiana, as well as those who come from Chicago, Detroit, and the neighboring cities, you know, during the summer with the AAU programs. But, you know, it's just all love, man. It's basketball. You know, I love to talk. It got some other ventures that might be coming up that I can't quite talk about just yet. But if it pop off, you know, I might be throwing my hat in another arena, in another ring, as, you know, I like to do from time to time. But Sports City Chefs, man, we'll be right back at you tomorrow night on the cookout.
That's for sure. Man, look, and he even giving me a plug, man. I thank y'all for coming out for that plug that I put that nickname together, man. I feel like I gave it some credit, you know, or I get the credit for it. But, you know, I can't totally steal the Jackson 5 shine. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Diana Ross, you know, when she discovered them boys out of Indiana. You know what I'm saying? I got to let them do their thing on the stage first, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, stay tuned. Like he said, I'm going to try to get Royce in here throughout the summer. That's for sure, for, you know, seeing if we can give y'all that weekly wrap-up like we normally do, or like y'all heard in the past. I want to see what he up to, man, but he said he got other things on sleep. But what did y'all stay tuned? Y'all stay tuned. I'm going to cook. I'm going to put some recipes together, see if he likes the poop for thought that I'm dishing out. SportsCityChefs.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Like he said, we'll be back here tomorrow with the cookout, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stay focused. For City, we are completely on fire. I love everything as we enter the month of July, and I have something else to jump into, but I ain't got the time. Phil Mickelson caught up in money laundering. Whoa. I want to see how much bright light put on me. Yeah, $3 million, too. But I'll save it for the cookout. I want to see how many bright lights they put on this one, because if they don't, this is a lot of food for thought. Hopefully y'all could do these dishes. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
My garage is flawless, under 100 thou ain't allowed. Maybach triple white like I'm riding in a cloud. No denim on my seats, baby, you gon' need a towel. Ride sexy through the city, see me, you will be aroused. My bankroll so well endowed. Poor bitches from MIA to ATL in style. And in crowd, catch me in town. On the strip in Vegas, chill.